delays on our flight, which that hardly ever happens anymore. But we got in, enjoyed the weather here, beautiful today. And I know it's supposed to get warmer, but where we are from in South Dakota, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, it's a little crisp right now, a little chilly, and the leaves are changing. It looks really, really beautiful. The next few months for us, that's when we hide inside. And you all are kind of just coming out of that where, you know, it's been so hot. Now you're going to enjoy the weather. And so, but it's really good to be here, and I'm thankful to have the opportunity to be part of your week. And Brother Moore, Pastor Moore, and his family have just been a blessing to our family. We're so thankful to know them and be friends with them, and got to know them up because they were up in our part of the country as well, and got to preach there a little bit and have a good time with them. I love Pastor Moore. Just don't take for granted what the Lord has brought you here and in terms of your pastor and his family, not just your pastor, but his family. And his family, you know, they may even be more top-notch than the pastor, because, Miss Melissa's a jewel, and those boys, you know, you never know what they're going to set on fire next. So they're a blessing. I'm thankful for them. One thing that inspires me about your pastor, and we'll be in the book of Philippians chapter 1, we're just going to use a couple of verses here as a reference. One thing, though, that I really appreciate about Pastor Moore that's always been something that stands out to me is how he prioritizes people. And I don't want to embarrass him this morning, but if you've been around him very much, then you know that his priority is people. And he's very good at, even though he's busy, setting aside what he has to do because people matter to him. And I just truly appreciate how he does that. It's inspired me to be better at that. And that leads right into what I'm going to be talking about this morning in terms of priorities. And it's hard to know how to start a missions conference week and know exactly what to focus on. So I'm going to start with the idea of priorities today. And there was one man who had the right priority in life was the Apostle Paul. And he clearly did things the right way. And as you read the book of Philippians, then you know this is a letter that Paul wrote chained to a Roman guard. And he was a prisoner of Rome, and yet he's writing about some pretty amazing things when you think about how he was able to have the right perspective because he had the right priority. And look at verse 12 of chapter 1. It says, "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." And here's Paul in prison, and he's dealing with being incarcerated. He doesn't have freedom, and yet he's saying the persecutions that I've dealt with, the persecutions that you intended for me to put an end to the spreading of the gospel, have actually resulted in the opposite. The gospel has been spread because I've been imprisoned. Look at verse 13. It says, "So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places." Paul says, me being in prison has actually opened doors to people I would never have met before. I'm in the palace and I'm talking to people that are important people, and I would never have known them if I hadn't been put into prison. And he's pointing out that those things that we would say are persecutions are actually opening doors for the gospel. Look at verse 14. It says, "And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident in my bonds, or by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." What they're saying is, Paul's a prisoner, and they're looking at him, and they're seeing how the gospel is taking effect, and he's not holding back anymore. He's actually having more confidence, and they're saying, if he can do that in prison, I can do that in my workplace tomorrow. If he can do that in prison, I can talk to my neighbors with boldness and confidence about the gospel. Look at verse 15. I'm just giving you context here. It says, "Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel." And Paul says, while some were preaching the gospel with pure motives, others were preaching it with an agenda. They were trying to add to Paul's trouble and to Paul's affliction by either tearing him down or building themselves up. They're thinking, well, while he's away, I'm going to build my kingdom. And I'm going to try to get some attention that Paul had. Verse 18 says, "What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." Here is Paul, okay? I just want to remind you, he's a prisoner. And yet he's saying that because I'm in prison, the gospel is having greater effect. He's saying that even though I'm being persecuted, and even though things are hard for me, I don't really mind that as long as Jesus Christ is being lifted up. I don't have to sit and struggle with the position I'm in, because none of that matters if Jesus Christ is first. And then we come to verse 21, which is the thought that I want to give you today, and it's a very simple thought, but I think it's a great way to start a missions conference week. He says in verse 20, I'll start in verse 20, "According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death." And I love the word magnified. If you think of the word magnified, then you think it basically takes something that's far away and brings it closer. So if you have a telescope, you look through the telescope in the night sky, and you look at a planet. If you've ever seen a planet through a telescope, it's like it's a fake picture at the end of the telescope. It's amazing. I went to the Griffith Park Observatory in Southern California, and I was looking at a planet there, and it seemed like it was right in front of this giant telescope. It didn't look real. It looked fake. But Paul is saying that's what our lives are supposed to do with Jesus Christ. See, Jesus Christ, for most people, Jesus Christ is some kind of intangible, far away concept they have a tough time wrapping their minds around. And what Paul is saying is it is our job as disciples to bring him close. To take someone that's far away and maybe hard to understand and let them see Jesus in your life. That's what magnifying Christ means. We bring Jesus Christ up close and personal to the people that you work with and the people that are your neighbors and the family members you have that aren't saved. You are bringing Jesus Christ. You're magnifying him, bringing him closer. And then Paul says in verse 21, the verse that you all have heard and I've heard my whole life, but it really is a great way to start a missions week. It says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." You know what? Paul is laying it out there here in no uncertain terms. He says, Jesus is my life. Jesus is number one. Jesus is my priority. He says, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Think about that. What he's saying is that every single part of my existence, from life to death, is filtered through Jesus Christ. From life, from my breath, from what I do every day, from how I spend my days and my hours to the point that I die, everything is about Jesus Christ. And so let me ask, is there anything, if you say that your life is about Jesus Christ, from life to death, can you think of anything in your life that doesn't fit into one of those categories? Is there anything that you do, or anywhere you go, or any thought that you have that doesn't fit under the category of life or death? Pretty much covers it all, right? I mean, that covers everything from life to death. And what Paul is saying is, I am talking about my priority in life. My priority, number one for me, is Jesus Christ in all things. And I think about the word priority. Priority means most important. In other words, There can only be one most important thing in your life. There can only be one most important thing. It's only been until the last 100 years ago that the word priority has become a plural word. It used to be that priority ended in a Y, it's one thing. Now we have priorities. We have multiple things that are important. And the origin of the word priority, though, suggests it coming first compared to another thing. The state of being first. And I don't know about you, but when I think about that definition, I think there can only be one priority. There can only be one thing in our lives that is the most important. And maybe the concept of having multiple priorities has morphed as we desire to get more done and we're filling our days with more things and trying to be more productive. But it is still true. It is still true. I almost called you a young person because I preached a couple youth rallies lately. If I call you a young person, just take it as a compliment, okay? Amen. All you baby-faced young people in here today. You know, there's only one thing in your life that's the most important thing. You can't have equally, they're all the most important. No, one thing rises to the top. I remember when Jace, my son, was 5 years old and he was playing soccer and we went to a game and they were playing and his team was pretty good and he talks about that team like it was a legendary soccer team. And I try not to remind him that there was a girl on the team that scored most of the goals that season. Just let him have his day. You know, they were really good. And we get down to the end of it, and they were handing out medals. And I remember watching my 5-year-old son, as they're taking out boxes of medals, they're giving it to the second place team. They're giving them to the third place team. They're giving it to the team that didn't score a goal all season. Everybody got a medal. And Jace is holding his medal like, what is happening? In his 5-year-old mind, even he knew there can only be one winner. And it is our culture that tries to make everything be equal. But there is, listen, in your life and in my life, there is only one thing that is the most important thing in our lives. Even Jace knew there's only one first. It is a recent cultural phenomenon to declare multiple winners. And it's come around the same time that people decided that the word priority could become priorities, to add an S, and is a contradiction to the very idea of that word. And there's only one first. There can only be one most important. And the reason that that matters in a missions conference week is this. If we will get our priority in life right, then everything else we're trying to accomplish in this missions conference will take place. See, obviously giving is a big part of missions conference. And there you go. There you Baptists go. Talking about giving, you can turn any message into a giving message. Well, I don't preach about giving much. I'm only like, you know, 3 or 4 times a week. That's it. No, giving. Giving is a big part of this week. I mean, let's just lay it out there. Let's just be honest. You cannot accomplish missions unless there's people that are willing to sacrifice and give of themselves so that people can go where we can't go. That's part of the week. And I'm not trying to beat you over the head about it or hold you by your legs and shake you upside down so all the change comes out. No, giving's a big part of this week. But I pray that the Lord will give you a heart to give so that you can give sacrificially or you can get more involved. That's a big part of the week. We're also praying this week that God would give you the boldness to tell people about Jesus Christ everywhere that you go. What a shame if we as God's people say, I'll bankroll somebody else to tell other people about the gospel, but I'm not going to do it myself. Well, you talk about that's an entitled mentality, isn't it? I'll pay somebody else to do it. My missionaries, they better go tell people about Jesus Christ. But if we haven't told somebody about Jesus, when's the last time you had a conversation about Jesus Christ with somebody? I mean, that's what we're trying to accomplish that this week. We're also praying that some of God's people, and this is a big one, that praying that some of God's people will say, I'll go. If you would allow me, Lord, I will go wherever you want me to go. We just heard in our prayer time this morning, one of the young men stood up and said, God called me to be a missionary. I mean, how exciting is that? But why do we think that that's limited to a young person genre? We had last year, and just last year, we had in our missions revival, we call it a missions revival, we had, I specifically had a big prayer request as we led up to it, that God would call someone from our church to go out, to step out by faith. And a couple months later, a family came to me, and the dad, they've got 12 kids, big family. It's like half our church. He came and he said, I think God is calling our family to go start a church in Laverne, Minnesota. Amen. And I said, I didn't really mean it. What are you doing? No, I said, praise the Lord. That's what we prayed for. And you know what? Part of it, it's hard. But if God wants to call somebody from this congregation, I'm telling you this, your pastor would be nothing but thrilled about that. And it would help you to get where you want to go. That's what we're looking for. That's part of this week. But understand this, all of those things, as important as they are, giving, telling, going, none of those things will happen if Jesus Christ is not your priority in life. And in fact, we could say, well, I'll give, but Jesus Christ is kind of down here along with other things. Don't bother giving. You don't want to just give out of duty or just give because you're obligated. No, you could say, well, I'll tell other people if it's convenient, but I really can't make Jesus Christ first in my life. I've got other things going. Say, well, I would go, but my job right now is keeping me from taking a step of faith like that. I just don't think that I can do that right now. See, understand, all of those things are good, but if you try to do those things without Jesus Christ being your priority in life, you'll fail at all of them. So the reason I'm starting with this thought is rather than focus on giving, we need to focus on who matters the most in your life. Rather than focusing on telling, we need to focus on who is most important in your life. Rather than just focusing on going, we need to talk about who matters the most in your heart. Because I truly believe this. Listen, if every person in this room would prioritize Jesus Christ in their lives, our giving would be off the charts and our telling would be second to none, and our going would be tremendous if we would all right now in this room decide Jesus Christ is number one for me. And I'd like to visualize this by using, I heard somebody else mention this as an illustration one time, and I want to use this thought of a wagon wheel. Let's see. It may be asleep, brother. Anytime you introduce technology in a Baptist church,
it's asleep like some of y'all are out there. Okay.
So I'd like to illustrate this by talking about a wagon wheel. Okay. Now, wagon wheel, we don't drive wagons anymore, obviously, but you understand the concept. You've got there's kind of three parts of the wagon wheel. You've got the rim, which is the outside. You've got the spokes, which connect to the hub. So I'll use the illustration of the hub, the spokes, and the rim to kind of illustrate what we're talking about here today. And so just visualize it. Even if it doesn't come on, you can visualize this. The rim is the part that touches the ground. So the rim, we'll just say that the rim is the part that people see. So the part of your life, is it, or you should be good to go? Okay. Okay, it's coming up. You see it right there. Man, my tremendous graphics skills were put into work here. Yeah, where you go. So here you go. You've got the rim, which is the outside part. You've got the spokes, which are on the inside. Then you have the hub that really kind of brings everything together, right? So we'll say that the rim is the part of life that people can see. That's the part of life. That's the part that touches the ground. It's the part that makes contact with the earth. It's visible. So in your life, the rim would be the visible part. It would be the part that other people can see. It's really more a passive component in the process, though, isn't it? It's not turning. It's simply there and doing what something else is telling it to do. The spokes are what connect the hub to the rim. The spokes, we'll say in life, the spokes are the different important pieces of our lives. These are the things that matter. Any of the following, we'll say that any of the following can be spokes. So the priorities in life, I mean, Jesus Christ obviously should be a priority. Your family life, that should be a priority. If you're a dad or you're a mom, and if you're a married person, or if you have siblings or you have parents, family matters. It's important. Friendships are important. Relationships, those matter. Career, that matters. It's important. Education matters. Some of you are going to school right now. Your health matters. Your finances matter. Your hobbies matter. I'm just throwing out, these are all things that could be priorities in our life. But listen, as important as all of those things are, only one can be in the middle. Only one can be most important. So that's what the hub represents. The hub is the most important thing. The hub is the part of the wheel that attaches to the axle. It not only that, it also attaches to all the spokes. It moves the spokes. The hub is the one most important thing in our lives. It is the priority from which everything else comes. So listen, in your life and in my life, only one thing can be listed on the hub. I mean, just think about the list. Any of those things could be listed on the spokes, but since there can only be one most important priority, we have to decide what comes first. And for many people, maybe it's your family. I'm just going to use it as an illustration or an example. Family matters. It's important, especially, by the way, in a culture that is trying to downplay the biblical family. It's trying to tear the biblical family apart. And maybe, you know, so for many, maybe it's a young person and they say, well, my friends, that's the most important thing to me. That happens in a lot of young people's lives. My friends matter the most. And understand, if your friends are your priority, that will impact everything else that you do. If they're your priority and they matter most, then how you operate will be affected by your friends. Maybe it's your career. And if you're a young adult, or you're just getting into your career and you're prioritizing your career and you're trying to grow and establish yourself and climb the corporate ladder, if your career is on the hub, that will make a lot of decisions for you. And not all of them good, by the way. I know young adults who get a good job and have an opportunity to grow in their job, but because career is on the hub, then it impacts where they decide to move, whether or not there's a church there. What is on the hub of your life will determine most of your actions. It could be education. It could be your health. Understand, though, if any of the things listed from number 2 to number 9 are on the hub of your heart, then where does that put Jesus Christ? That simply means that Jesus becomes just another spoke in your life. It means that Jesus is on the same level as your education. It means that Jesus is on the same level as all your other relationships. It means that Jesus is on the same level as your friendships. If you put anything besides Jesus Christ on the hub of your life, when there's only room for one, then we are relegating Jesus Christ to simply just another spoke in our lives. I mean, let's say your family is the hub. And I commend you, by the way, for prioritizing your family. You ought to. We need more husbands and fathers and wives and mothers who see the value of the family like God sees it. Husbands, though, understand, though, you can love and lead your family more effectively and in a more godly way if Christ is on your hub. If you make your family your priority and Jesus Christ is just another spoke, you'll only be able to love them to a certain level and lead them to a certain level. But if Jesus Christ is on the hub, you can lead and love your family to a whole nother level that you never would without Him. Understand, Jesus Christ impacts every part of our lives. Moms, I know you love your kiddos. You want to nurture and protect them. But I know, moms, that on the hub of their heart is their children. And everything about life is about their children. And I'm not saying don't prioritize your children. I'm saying you will do better for your children if Jesus Christ is on the hub of your life and your children are a spoke. You will love them and lead them more effectively if Jesus Christ comes first. And so, you know, I think about a spiritual, I think about family, and I think about prioritizing it. And we say, well, family comes first. But even Jesus Christ says, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Our families are extremely important. The family is the building block of a church family. But as important as family is, Christ should be on the hub of the wheel of our families. We must not confuse that message as we raise our children. We must let them know that in everything Jesus Christ comes first. Contrary to what's seen in many Christian families, parents should raise their children understanding that spiritual life, your spiritual life as a child, is the most important thing to me. More important, by the way, moms and dads, than sports. Sports can become the hub. And if sports becomes the hub, if that's what's dictating your life, then when it comes to sports or choosing church, guess what you're going to choose? Getting an education can become the hub in our families. And if that's the truth, if that's the case, if education is on the hub, then when it comes to deciding, am I going to be faithful to my local church when I go to college or university, or am I going to focus on my education? Guess what gets left out? That local church gets left out. I'm just saying, only one thing can be on the hub. We have to recognize that our priorities will impact the next generation. Listen, if our hub has the wrong label, we have just lowered the likelihood that the next generation, that their hub will say Jesus Christ. Whatever's on our hub will make our decisions for us. So here's the question for you today. What's in the middle of your wagon wheel? Because only one thing can be listed. Only one thing matters the most to you. And if it's anything other than Jesus Christ, then that's the wrong priority. And your wagon wheel will end up looking, you know, it will look something like this, but really what it ought to look like is something like this. Where Jesus Christ is right in the middle. And I would say to you that this is probably what Paul's wagon wheel looked like. Because he said, life to death, anything in between, I filter it all through the priority of Jesus Christ. Amen. But let's apply it to missions. See, that's what we're doing this week. And remember, we're asking the Lord to help us give as we should. And we're asking the Lord to help us sacrifice something in our lives so that we can give more sacrificially that we're holding on to. I'll be willing to give it up. That's what we're asking this week. Or maybe we're asking the Lord to give us the boldness to preach Jesus Christ wherever we go. We're saying, Lord, if you want me to surrender to do whatever you want, I want to be that. I want to do that. But where we really ought to start is this. What's the label on the hub of your life? What does your wagon wheel say? Because if your life is first and foremost about Jesus Christ, then all the other things we're looking for this week will fall into place. Having Christ in the middle makes your decisions for you. And here's what we're looking for this week. We're looking for this. See, when Jesus is in the middle, then you will give what you're supposed to give. And if Jesus is in the middle, then you will sacrifice everything that God asks you to sacrifice this week. It won't be a problem because Jesus is in the middle. If Jesus is in the middle of your life, then you will tell others as boldly as you need to because it's all about Jesus Christ. If Jesus is in the middle, then you will surrender what you're supposed to surrender because it's all about Jesus Christ. If Jesus is in the middle, then you will go wherever He calls you to go because it's all about Jesus Christ. This is the essence of Missions Week right here. Because we could strive to do all these things, giving and sacrificing and telling and surrendering and going, But if Jesus Christ doesn't replace whatever is on the middle of the hub of our wagon wheel, in 2 weeks, we'll be right back where we were. What I'm saying is Missions Week is not about behavior modification. Missions Week is about heart change. And if we are going to be what you, if you as a church are going to be what you're supposed to be, not on the hub of my wagon wheel, doesn't really matter whatever else I'm trying to do. Listen, what label marks your hub? I mean, think about it for just a minute. Be honest and self, be self, what's the word? Reflective, inspective, whatever. You make up the word. You know what I'm talking about. Look inside. What label's on the hub of your life? I mean, let's just be honest. I know it sounds silly, but for some people, it's football. And right now, your favorite team, man, they're rolling along, and that's what you think about the most. You know, it's going to make your decisions for you. That won't help you make good decisions about life. Amen. Now, can football be a spoke? Sure. But if it's the hub, you've got problems. Right. You say, well, you know, my career, I'm really trying to get that promotion and get that raise. If that's the hub, you will find yourself compromising in areas you never thought you would because it's calling the shots for you. Amen. This week, if you think, well, God wants me to sacrificially give more than I've ever given, and I'm not just not sure that I'm going to be able to swing it in my budget. Well, if your budget is on the hub of your will, then you probably won't raise your missions commitment. But if Jesus Christ is, then everything else falls into place. What is the hub of your wheel? What one thing makes your decisions for you? What do you wake up thinking about? What do you lay in bed at night? What do you think about it at night? What gets the most time in your schedule? This is how you know what's on the hub of your wheel. Order your daily life so that Christ has preeminence. The success or failure of this week will be determined by whether or not Jesus Christ is first in the hearts of the members of Western Hills Baptist Church. Missions comes down not to just giving or telling or going or sacrificing or surrendering. Missions comes down to this: what do you love the most? And if you love Jesus Christ the most, you know what's going to be right? If you read Paul, the gospel was first in his life. Because Jesus was first in his life. I can tell you this, if Paul was here this week, he would give exactly what God wanted him to because Jesus was first for him. If Paul was here, he would surrender to go wherever God wanted him to because Jesus was first. Sacrifice, no big deal for Paul because Jesus is first. Surrender, no big deal because Jesus is first. Telling other people, I mean, clearly he had boldness to tell them. You know why? Because Jesus was the most important thing to him. Is that true? Is that true for you? Is that true in your life? If we could, and I don't want to do this, I'm glad we don't have to do this, but if we could be flipped inside out and the label of our heart was visible to everybody else, what would it say? I sure hope it says Jesus Christ. But I also know what it's like to live in a busy world with distractions and temptations. And I know it's pretty easy to let go of what ought to matter most and replace him with something that in eternity doesn't matter at all. That's what this week is about. If we'll get this part right, everything else will click into place. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the truth. I thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to see, Lord, what Paul's heart was. Help us to be as committed to the priority of Jesus Christ as the Apostle Paul was. Lord, we need you this week to do a work, not just in our behavior, we need you to do a work in our hearts. If you will work in our hearts, Lord, all the other things we're praying for, they're going to click into place. So we're asking for your help, your Holy Spirit, to do a work in a special way, an inner, inward work in our hearts this week. In Jesus' name, amen.